Sleep was just about to embrace Grey Patch when loud screams rent the still air. Silently, Hoke Tom trailed him as he made his way cautiously to the ford. Using the trees to the side of the path as cover, Grey Patch sneaked up to within a short distance of the water. Irak Tan stood over the carcass of Stump Claw, his vicious beak dripping red.
Irak Tan, kill! Crack!
Behind him in the swift-running, weed-streaked waters of the ford, the bodies of the three who had made it to the water bounced and bobbed in a grotesque parody of life, though it was only the ripping jaws of the pike shoal which moved them. Grey Patch cut east into the woodlands, avoiding the killer heron and following the course of the stream, voicing his thoughts aloud as he went.
I'll find the Dark Queen, sure as eggs is eggs. Follow the stream, that's all you do, matey, follow the stream. I'll sit aboard my old ship and wait for the others. No chance Grey Patch is going to get lost amid all that forest again. No, sir.
As the sun grew hotter, Grey Patch knelt to drink from the stream. He sucked long and noisily, feeling the cool flow of fresh water crossing his chin. Suddenly, lifting his face clear of the stream, the Sea Rat captain felt his neck hairs rising. Without turning, he knew there was some beast behind him. A vague blur showed on the surface of the swift-running water, masking the stranger's identity. Instinctively, the Sea Rat's claw reached for his sword.
Who are you?
The stranger's voice was as cold as north wind on wet stones.
My name would mean nothing to you, rat.
Grey Patch played for time, slowly inching the sword from his belt.
What do you want with me, then? I mean, you no harm.
A blow from the lance butt sent him sprawling into the stream. He stood up in the shallows, spluttering. His face was a mask of vengeance. Oak Tom stood on the bank, lance held loose but ready.
The time for your reckoning is due, Sea Rat. Now, you must pay for the lives of two hares. Tell me, how does it feel standing there without your crew to protect you?
Grey Patch swallowed hard, his own voice sounding squeaky in his ears.
Leave me alone. I only want to get out of here. Let me go, and I won't bother you anymore. I just want to get to the sea.
Oak Tom raised the lance.
Then you shall go to the sea.
Grey Patch had his sword free now, but the squirrel's face was so full of vengeance and rage that the sea rat's natural boldness and cunning deserted him completely. The sword fell from his nerveless claws into the water as he turned and ran with the flowing stream. It was fully 3 days later that Grey Patch made it to the sea, floating face up, with Oak Tom's lance standing out from his corpse like a mast with no sail. The two gallant hares of the Long Patrol had been avenged, and Redwall Abbey was freed of further trouble, all with one swiftly thrown lance. 2 hours after dawn next day, set up by a full Redwall breakfast, the creatures of the Abbey began to set their home right again. Fire damage was repaired, crops and orchard tended back to their former fruitfulness, the pond was weeded and cleared of charred fire swingers, and the main gate had a team attending to it, armed with carpenter's tools and headed by Saxtus.
Brother Hubert, Cockleburr, lend a paw with this new timber, please. Baby Grub, I won't tell you again. Put the hammer down.
Brr, I want to knock any nailers in, Saxus.
Well, you can. You're too small. Formole, will you and your crew start soaring here? This part where the bottom of the gate is heavily charred. That's it. About there.
Yeah, Virgo, Grubber. Do we all gate still while I soars?
Saxtus picked up some large clout nails.
Baby Grub, drop that hammer this instant.
Grr, go boil your head, bossy old Saxtus.
Ow, oh, come here, you little ruffian.
Grub hid behind Sister Sage, who was pushing on Rosie's wheelchair. Saxtus hopped about, clenching his paw. Sister Sage remonstrated with Grub.
That was a very naughty thing to do, Dibben.
Ah, but Maester Saxus told I to drop his hammer.
Maybe he did. Still, it was no excuse for dropping it on his footpaw.
Mayhaps it weren't, though he do dance nicely, don't he?
Hon Rosie held her ribs and winced as she chuckled.
Oh, you're an absolute savage, young grub.
Grub climbed onto the chair and sat upon Rosie's lap.
Your sacks of stairs and get on now, Mrs. Rose.
Simeon felt the smooth grain of the newly planked oak. He pressed his nose against it and breathed in deeply.
That will make a stout door. Pity it loses its fragrance with the seasons and the weather, Bernard.
The abbot led him away to the shade of the threshold wall steps.
I feel that everything is going to be all right now, Simeon.
Good. Your senses are improving, my friend. I too can sense something.
Oh? Something I've missed? It's not that mole Burgo and his wild garlic again, is it?
No. I sense that we should do something about continuing construction on our bell tower. I've been meaning to tell you, I had a wonderful dream last night.
Shh!
The abbot interrupted.
Don't mention Dandin or the others. Here comes Melus. She looks in a happy mood this morning. Let's try and keep her that way. Good morning, Melus. Another beautiful day.
The badger nodded.
It was until I spotted those two wretches over there. Bag and Run. Look at them, covered from nose to tail with green gatehouse paint. I'll scrub the hides off the pair of them.
She took off at a trot, chasing the two green petals of Redwall.
Sometimes I think she's only happy when she's got dirty dibbons to hurl into bathtubs.
Simeon whispered in the abbot's ear.